The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Tops Down Monday edition. I mean, the top of your convertible. Don't want to have any confusion out there in the world. We have big breaking news out of the great state of Wisconsin. I always love it when they make my job easy for me. And when I can go to the Washington Post and see a story from my own backyard and know Wisconsin once again is intriguing the nation with its electoral malfeasance. Here we go. Here is the lead. By the way, happy Monday, everyone. We've got Aaron on the board. We got Samuel giving him some help. And you can always be a part of this big show, 844-967-2789. Dom will join at 4 o'clock, but you can join anytime. Toll free for you. But here's the big breaking national news. Group submits signatures to recall Wisconsin Assembly Speaker targeted by Trump. What could possibly go wrong here? They are recalling Robin. The speaker, Robin Voss, resisted Trump's pressure to find a way to reverse the former president's re-election loss in a critical battleground state in 2020. He tried to have it all ways to all people. And now the reckoning is due for Robin Voss. I am going to enjoy this. Get out your popcorn, people. A group seeking to oust Republican Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly over his handling, I think that should be in air quotes, of Donald Trump's 2020 re-election loss in the state, submitted signatures Monday in hopes of forcing a recall election. And they sent a lot of signatures. According to the group Recall Voss said it collected 10,700 signatures, more than the roughly 7,000 in the local press. I saw it represented as 6,850. That was the prerequisite number of signatures. They got 10,700. The deadline was today. The people of Racine County have spoken, recall leader Matt Snork said in a statement. With more than 10,000 signatures on our recall petition, they've said it loud and clear. They're tired of the status quo and demand new representation. Wow. Wow. They're going to recall Robin Voss in the middle of what? A election cycle. They're going to recall him in an election year. Can't wait till November to beat him. Got to go after him now. And this is the guy who's supposed to be on behalf of Republicans defending the new elective maps, right? The new fairer maps. Robin Voss has been telling us for years Republicans have better ideas, better candidates. Well, apparently the MAGA base, they don't think you're the better candidate with better ideas. So anyways, back to the Washington Post. Trump supporters have been persistently targeting Voss since 2020 election. I know, I've enjoyed this effort. When Trump narrowly lost Wisconsin, a crucial battleground state, after winning it 4 years earlier, while Voss launched an investigation into the results, he hired Michael Gableman. That was a joke. Even he was ultimately embarrassed by the corrupted former Supreme Court justice. All Crudy's opinion. But here is what the Post says. He, Voss, resisted Trump's pressure to figure out a way to overturn the outcome, calling it impossible and unconstitutional. you know, living in the fact-based world, are you, Robin? That's what got you in trouble. Biden's 2020 win has endured throughout, and there is no evidence of widespread fraud in the election. The fact that you got to write that in every column, you know, about the state of Wisconsin is a little embarrassing. More from the Washington Post about our fine state. In 2022, Trump backed a primary challenge to Voss, who prevailed by a slim margin, less than 300 votes. Now, Snorik filed the recall petition in January, saying Voss is, and here's his quote, blocking fair elections. How's he doing that? Snorik also cited Voss's December 2022 comment that he will try as hard as I can to make sure Donald Trump is not the nominee in 2024. Oh, yeah, there's your crime. You're not loyal enough, Robin. Voss has since said he will vote for Trump. Now the likely nominee in November. You know, always strong of character as well. Following whichever way the weather vane blows. Now, Voss did not immediately respond to a request for comment Monday, but he has called the recall effort a waste of time, resources, and effort. What's he going to say? I think this is well-founded. I am really bad at my job. Please recall me. Of course he's not going to say that. So he says a waste of time, resources, and effort, and blasted the organizers as hateful liars who will say anything to get a signature. Well, that will play out ultimately in the recall election. Now, under Wisconsin law, recall organizers are required to collect a number of signatures that equals at least 25% of the most recent gubernatorial vote in the district. That's a bigger standard than, let's say, an assembly election in an off year. The target of the petition has 10 days to challenge the signatures once they are submitted. I would point out, Robin Voss up here at the Capitol, he's got some staffers. He's got a lot of staffers. You, the people, pay for 14 staffers. Now, I realize this could be perceived as, what, campaign work. But I think ultimately he is going to claim, as the assembly speaker, it is within his purview, and therefore he can requisition the proper staff to go signature by signature. You know he's going to challenge anything that looks like or smells like a Mickey Mouse. You know what I'm saying? So, 10 days. He's got 10 days to challenge. That would be Speaker Voss. The Wisconsin Elections Commission, a bipartisan six-member panel, is ultimately responsible for deeming a petition sufficient and calling an election. The commission is scheduled to discuss the recall petition at a special meeting tomorrow, Tuesday. And Voss, who first became speaker in 2013, is the longest-serving speaker in Milwaukee history. He represents a district in southeastern Wisconsin, south of Milwaukee. Yes, the Racine, Pleasant Prairie area, right? Patrick Svivic reporting at the Washington Post. We've got some local coverage, too. Let's see how they overlap. Always love to see Robin Voss's face on the front page of the digital Washington Post. See Robin Voss on the front page of the AP News as well. Trump supporters hoping to oust Wisconsin leader again claim they have over 10,000 signatures. That's a big number. I'll just glance at this. Snornick, Matt Snornick, again, this is the recall Voss organizer, with more than 10,000 signatures on our recall petition. They've said it loud and clear. They're tired of the status quo and demand new representation. Well, I guess we knew that. The recall effort targeting him highlights continued frustration amongst Trump supporters in battleground Wisconsin over his loss in 2020 and how Voss responded to it. That includes Voss refused attempts from Trump and his supporters to decertify Biden's win and how he didn't move forward with impeaching Wisconsin's top elections official. Megan Wolf, right? They kept talking about it, but they didn't do it. So in the middle of a presidential election year, Robin Voss will now find himself the target of the Republican presidential nominee. You know, Robin Voss, you know Donald Trump's going to wade in again, right? And my only question, this very, very not in disarray Republican Party here in the state of Wisconsin, targeting their own Speaker of the Assembly and the longest serving one in Wisconsin history. But, you know, all good things must come to an end eventually, right, Robin? But Donald Trump will probably, what, come to Racine and rally support for a recall in the middle of a presidential election year of a state assembly race to try and take out Robin Foss. And why would I say that? Because it's precedent. He did it before. He came to Waukesha. Not only did he try to take out Rebecca Clayfish, because God forbid her daughter went on a plutonic date with Brian Hagedorn's son to homecoming. Hagedorn was the one sensible conservative that didn't vote to, well, consider throwing out 200,000 absentee ballots in the state of Wisconsin. He was the one that, let's just say, followed the law. The other three Republicans, conservatives, I mean, on the Supreme Court in Wisconsin, they were all down for throwing out your absentee ballots. They were all down for establishing Trump as the winner of the state of Wisconsin, if they could. It was only Hagedorn. So Hagedorn's kid went on a plutonic date with Rebecca Clayfish's kid, and God forbid. And someone brought it to Donald Trump's attention at Mar-a-Lago. That's my understanding of the story. And Donald Trump made a point to come to Waukesha to campaign against Rebecca Clayfish and for carpetbagger Tim Michaels. You know, the guy who at that rally that day, I do believe, called Wisconsinites lazy. What a great campaign. Wisconsinites are lazy, and I support abortion bans with no exceptions for rape or incest. Although I think he eventually walked that back. It was a little too late. Tony Evers won re-election. But he nearly took out Robin Voss that day. He encouraged the crowd to go vote for Adam Steen. And in fact, we find out later, the Donald Trump Super PAC, Save America PAC, I believe it was, violated campaign finance laws to the benefit of Adam Steen. That's how much they cared. They committed felonies to try and take out Robin Voss. So my only question is, who's the candidate? Are you going to bring out the alleged felonious Adam Steen? Is that your guy? I mean, you know, there's no logic to the recall anyway, so why not? Or do you got another guy up your sleeve? Who's better? And I'm loving it. You know, I'm enjoying the popcorn and the sunny day. Get the top down. It's a big Monday edition. You can be a part. 844-967-2789. Devil's Advocates starts with you. Dom's coming at 4. Bring it. Text and phone lines. They're open toll-free right now.
Of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Big Monday edition. A recall effort underfoot, national news focusing on Wisconsin, at least in part. The recall of Robin Voss. I got to tell you, I am supportive of this effort. How can I help? That's what I want to know. I'll think on this. This is my kind of jackassery. And it is completely ridiculous that Republicans would go after their own Speaker of the Assembly. But if they're going to do it, I'm going to support it, people. I'm here for them. And I would encourage you, and will tell you, if you are in Robin Voss's district, and, you know, later during the show, we play out in WRJN land. But if you're listening in on the stream from the Pleasant Prairie area, We'll figure out a plan. I'll wait for Dom. I'll encourage Dom and you to, you know, come up with a plan. How do we support this recall effort of Robin Voss? It's not going to be financially. And I don't think it's meritorious of running a Democratic candidate. No, you don't want to divide and conquer. I mean, if you're going to defeat the sitting longest sitting speaker in Wisconsin's history, you need all hands on deck supporting whoever the wackadoodle opponent of Robin Voss is. And I will encourage you, because this would probably be a special election. I don't see how this aligns with anything. So special election time, I'm going to encourage you to go out and vote in the Republican primary and recall Robin Voss. Bless his heart. I hope it's successful. I also want to point out, I got the weirdest thing from the former president over the weekend. It's getting weirder. This guy, the missives, the asks. I mean, he's been seeking to have me get the Never Surrender Gold Card, which doesn't actually, you know, qualify you for anything other than funding Trump's legal defense, apparently. Never surrender. Help me pay my legal defense. I think that's sort of the plea. But over the weekend, I got a stranger missive still from the former president's campaign. And, you know, I get lots of emails because I've been politically active for some time now. And, you know, I'm on lots of people's email lists. But I got this weird one from Trump. Weird. I want to pull it up. I want to make sure I get this accurately. I describe this. This is President Trump and colon. I'll never stop loving you. And that's all in caps and in red. And he's pointing at me, you know, sort of Uncle Sam style. I'll never stop loving you. I'll always love you. Has Biden ever told you that? No, strangely, he never has. And then Trump points out, nope, never. And I'm thinking, wow, it gets weirder all the time. Who down at the Trump campaign thought that this was the right way to appeal to the working class, the middle class, the Midwestern voter, guy like Rudy? I mean, you've already misinformed me about when I should vote in the Republican primary, but that's, I got to tell you, Trump, I found it weird. Little stalkerish. It didn't appeal to me. But if you come to town and you, sir, make efforts to recall Robin Voss, and I think you should encourage whoever the recall candidate against Voss is, you should endorse publicly in Wisconsin, sir. I'd be supportive of that action. I'd love you then, Robin, pardon me, Donald Trump. Come get the man. That's what I want for you. Here's something else I noticed over the weekend. If you watch the State of the Union address, and a lot of you did, 32 million plus across the nation watched that address. But when Joe Biden came into the House gallery, whatever it is, the chambers, he did see Marjorie Taylor Greene sitting in one of the coveted aisle seats, or one end from the aisle. And she's wearing a MAGA hat. And she made the funny look, you know, she tried to hand him a Laken Riley pin. I think he actually might have accepted it from her. And he gave her this look, this very humorous look. You know, old Joe, sleepy Joe was funny Joe. And he gave her this look like, what in the hell are you? And, you know, Dom's congresswoman, Gwen Moore, was sitting immediately to Marjorie Taylor Greene's left. Why? Because nobody else wanted that seat. And Gwen was late to the State of the Union. And I know Gwen, she's occasionally been late to appearances on the greatest radio show ever, but we love Gwen. We forgive her indiscretions of time. But apparently when you get late to the chamber, you're stuck sitting next to Marjorie Taylor Greene. So they've got some of that story at the Journal Sentinel. Here's how Gwen Moore ended up sitting next to Marjorie Taylor Greene at the State of the Union, and fact-checking her in real time, according to Gwen. So they do ask the question, how did Gwen Moore, a Democrat who represents the Milwaukee area in Congress, end up sitting next to U.S. Rep. Marjorie Taylor Three-Toe Greene, a Republican from Georgia who wore a MAGA hat to the State of the Union? Gwen said, talking to the MSNBCs, I came in late, as usual. Those are coveted seats right there on the aisle. You see the usual suspects sitting on the aisle. You never seen Gwen Moore in 19 years sitting on the aisle. She first tried down somewhere else, but the ushers told her that was a senator's seat. Then one of my colleagues, not to be named, said she had the perfect seat for Moore. Yeah, sitting next to three toes. So she ended up sitting next to Marjorie Taylor Greene, though nobody wanted to sit next to MTG, Moore said, when she remembered her ethics training and that she doesn't have to agree with people, and thought she would just ignore her. No, she's going to ignore her, right? But Moore ended up fact-checking her in real life, when Green said no one is being prevented from voting now compared to 1965. Moore mentioned legal challenges to her ballot submitted through a Dropbox in Wisconsin. You know, the 4-3, three of the Wisconsin Supreme Court justices were willing to throw out Gwen Moore's ballot and Jim Troupas' ballot and a lot of other people's ballots. And the fake elector scheme. Oh, yeah. Uncharged as yet here in the state of Wisconsin. Hope you're listening, Josh Call. And when Green was muttering about President Joe Biden shuttering businesses during the COVID-19 pandemic, Moore said, she responded that the pandemic was real and almost took her oldest son's life. She's a human being. I was trying to bring out some empathy and see if she had any, Moore said. Instead of spending all our time being surprised and shocked at Donald Trump having these supporters, to try and listen to them. Moore wasn't the only member of Wisconsin's congressional delegation who picked up attention Thursday night. Of course, there was Derek Van Orden, the, I would allege, perhaps angry drunk Derek Van Orden, who shouted lies when Biden criticized the former president's handling of the pandemic. Oh, and one more thing. Moore was portrayed briefly on Saturday Night Live in the skit that spoofed Biden's address. And, of course, Senator Katie Britt. We're going to play some of that sound in the 4 o'clock hour. The SNL, the cold open. Everybody knew what was coming, didn't they? And then in the SNL skit, Gwen Moore, they found the seemingly the exact same outfit that she wore. You know, I'm sure it was at Macy's. I think when very fashionable. Come back, Devil's Advocates. I'm wearing a black t-shirt. I bet Dom is too. Sun's out, buns out. It's Monday edition. Come back with us. My kids, happy they're on spring break. So, you know, they're enjoying the sun. I hope you are as well. Take the radio with, though. Don't forget us. Start again.
Ground control to Major Tom.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a big Monday edition. Beautiful, glorious weather here in Madison, WMDX 92.7 FM. I'm originating from 202 State Street. Wave at me if you walk by. But I've never been accused of being a rocket scientist. Didn't have the brain power, if you know what I mean. Never desired to be an astronaut. I know some kids. I want to be an astronaut. Not me. Not this dad. Not this guy. Never. Well, I don't like the heights. Never aspired to leave the atmosphere. You know, I'll get in an airplane. They're pretty safe. But, you know, I do most of my praying on airplanes. But I did find something of a story, and I think it's important. I'm going to share it with you, our fair audience. And this is not science fiction, but they're using AIs and satellites in space to detect illegal manure spreading in Wisconsin. Bennett Goldstein at Wisconsin Watch, he titles this, the headline, Poop Spotting. And then the rest, you heard me give the actual explainer. Here's a little of the coverage. After a fresh February snow, a satellite about the size of a shoebox busy snapping photographs as it circulates the planet at 17,000 miles per hour captures something dark in Wisconsin. About 56 tons of livestock bedding and manure have been spread atop Mark Zenke's frozen alfalfa field. The image beamed down to the surface eventually appeared on the computers of Stanford University researchers who relayed it to the offices of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. A staff member looked it over. He decided it was noteworthy and passed the information to another employee in a nearby city. Zenke, a Brownsville, Wisconsin dairy farmer who cares for a herd of more than 1,300 cows, had forgotten about the whole thing until he later heard from the agency. I bet he forgot. Oh, crap, let's just pretend like he said. He recalled thinking at the time, I mean, it's just one of those things. I guess we effed up. We got a man up to it, right? Zinke wasn't particularly surprised upon hearing that the witnesses to the manure application were Earth-orbiting satellites. In this day and age, he said of the government, they watch us doing everything. That's a little weird, though. But I think it's good use of the technology. Now, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is, in fact, not a spacefaring agency. We don't have our own satellite up there. But aerial imagery collected by a new generation of small, inexpensive satellites is ushering in a new era of real-time monitoring. Some environmental advocates want the department to look to the heavens as it regulates earthly happenings, large livestock farms. A potential water contamination source could become a surveillance target. And with increasingly sophisticated artificial intelligence, such a scenario is hardly a jettison pipe dream. Now, scientists from Stanford's Regulation Evaluation and Governance Lab are analyzing troves of aerial photographs to teach computers to recognize when farmers butter the land. I love that term. Butter the land with livestock poop. During the winter, a largely restricted but suspectedly pervasive practice in America's dairyland. Yeah, a lot of manure being spread out there in the dairyland. I thought it was mostly Republicans, but this is a nonpartisan article. No one wants crap in their drinking water, right? And the research relies upon machine learning, a process in which computers identify patterns to make predictions and decisions in constellations of commercial satellites that scan Earth's surface daily. The orbiters photograph the large farms known as concentrated animal feeding operations, or as we call them, CAFOs, during snowy Wisconsin winters. Policymakers consider a livestock farm a CAFO if it houses at least 1,000 animal units, the equivalent of 714 dairy cows or 2,500 pigs. That's like 2,500 pigs and their excrement being smeared down the road from you in the middle of winter when it will not penetrate the surface. Now, an excerpt from a 2022 paper from the researchers at Stanford's University Regulation, Evaluation, and Governance Labs identifies potential instances of manure spreading. The researchers are utilizing satellite imagery and machine learning to predict the activity during winter. Applying manure atop snow or frozen ground heightens the risk of runoff, you don't say, which can contaminate water, spread pathogens, and kill fish. Yeah, that's a problem. Typically, the ground is frozen or snow-covered for 100 to 140 days each Wisconsin winter. Oh, my God. Thank goodness this was the mildest winter I can remember. And, you know, global warming, as Ron Johnson said, maybe it'll favor us here in Wisconsin. Spreading manure atop snow increases the chance the material will not fully absorb into the soil. This can lead to surface runoff, which can contaminate water, spread pathogens, seed algae blooms, and kill fish. And the researchers selected Wisconsin in part of because the state documents CAFO locations and sets hard limits on manure spreading. The department generally curbs CAFO manure application during winter and prohibits the practice outright in February and March unless operators obtain an exemption. I bet they'll be getting the exemption this week. Now, Wisconsin often relies upon citizen watchfulness and self-reporting. How do you think the self-reporting works out? To protect the environment from illegal spreading, but fields are not always visible from roadsides or neighbors all-seeing. Meanwhile, state agencies with limited staff time must prioritize enforcement. And the scientists propose bolstering regulators' efforts to monitor large livestock farms with satellite imagery and AI tools that could, advocates hope, be used in any snowy state. Well, you know, we have the right combination. We have the CAFOs, we have the hard limits on manure spreading, and we have the snow, the snowy winter. So we are a good beta test, apparently. Now, they're expanding the satellite fleet offers new possibilities. And scientists who have used satellites and machine learning to identify CAFOs in North Carolina trace the expansion of livestock farms in Indiana and map cropland in Wisconsin. But previous inquiries hadn't scrutinized livestock farms in near real time. And Reg Lab researchers in 2022 obtained images of 330 CAFO locations across Wisconsin. You realize we have at least 330 locations that are concentrated animal feeding operations, factory farms in the state of Wisconsin, 330 or more. Now, a San Francisco-based satellite and data company that uses a fleet of more than 150 orbiters to photograph Earth's entire landmass, anyone with an annual subscription starting at $10,000 can track thousands of acres. So the Stanford scientists used near-daily images from three recent winter seasons when manure stands out against the backdrop of the snow-covered fields to train their model to recognizing spreading. And the scientists also sought to identify farms that spread more frequently than others. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources contacted Weiss Family Farms in Durand, Wisconsin. That's up in Pepin County. That's a very low population part of the state. It's over on the Minnesota side. Now, after the dairy operation spread solid manure on the field the week prior, a machine learning model developed by the researchers, again at the Stanford University Regulation, Evaluation, and Governance Lab, flagged Weiss's field, shown here to the state agency, as an area where manure was spread during prohibited winter months. And you don't have the benefit of seeing the picture, but I mean, literally, there's pools of crap on the snow-covered fields. Where'd they think that was going to go? Later, the researchers selected a random sample of 30 winter manure spreading events the model detected. They discovered state filing documents only four. So only four out of 30 were being self-regulated, is that my understanding? Raising questions about the comprehensiveness of the department's winter spreading record keeping. Do you think? Finally, the model predicted about 700 to 1,200 instances of manure spreading during February and March 2022 when it was presumptively prohibited. The study accused the state of laxness of enforcement and monitoring, which has resulted in widespread winter land application. So if the Wisconsin DNR does not care and does not regulate and doesn't have a regulation mechanism, well, guess what? People are spreading the manure. Literally spreading the manure during the winter when it's going to run off into our waterways. The researcher's tone has since softened. The number itself is not super concrete, study co-authors and Reglab data scientist Nick Rothberger said of the estimate. Still, I agree the conclusion is right, that there is a lot more manure application happening than perhaps the state would like to see based on environmental risk. And people have been getting away with it because there's been very few ways to monitor this overspreading. In 2023, the Reg Lab researchers conducted a new assessment of the model's accuracy by comparing it to the season of on-the-ground observations. They forwarded the Department of Natural Resources a batch of 582 potential detections captured by satellites that monitored all Wisconsin CAFOs during the two prohibited months. So 300-plus CAFOs in the state, and they're spreading illegally at a time when you're not supposed to, because there's typically snow on the ground here, 582 potential detections. Now, employee Ben Uvas, who then helped oversee CAFO compliance and enforcement, handled the detections like he would a compliant spreading spotted from a kitchen window. A complaint. From hundreds of miles above, streaks of manure resemble skid marks on Mother Nature's toilet paper, yet other scenery can lead to aerial viewers astray. The winter spreading of waste feed and tillage, both legal, duped the model according to a spreadsheet of outcomes obtained through the public records request. So did solar panels. In some cases, snow melted, revealing manure from previous months. And Uvas sifted out about 75% of the detections. Well, that's good. That still leaves what? If it's about 600 and he wiped out 75%, that's still 150, right? Their inquiries unearthed 30 instances of manure spreading during February and March, 9 of which were deemed noncompliant. A handful of applications were performed legally because the manure originated at a non-CAFO. Unlike CAFOs, smaller livestock farms generally are exempt from manure spreading rules. Well, maybe they should not be. We definitely did find more non-compliant winter spreading than a normal or average year, Yuvas said, pinning a typical figure at 2 or 3. That wasn't surprising to me, considering the amount of time staff spent looking for them. It's amazing. If you look, you find the regulation breakers. So, is there a moral? Is there a takeaway? Agency staff informed at least some of the farmers who spread illegally that their complaints came from eyes in the sky. It was very difficult and time-consuming for me specifically to try and convince people, no, these are not DNR satellites. No, DNR is not flying a satellite or a drone over your farm. Brad Kruger did not know about the aerial imaging. He milks about 770 cows in Marcusan, Wisconsin. An employee spread manure when he wasn't supposed to, and satellites caught the results on camera. Kruger said the knowledge that these satellites could be watching wouldn't necessarily change the way he operates. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. Well, a lot of people know what's right, and they still continue to violate. And I am less convinced, and I don't know, Mr. Kruger, of Mark and Sand and his 770 cows, and whether this was a mistake, but you're the head of the operation. You need to inform your people you can't spread crap on the snow. It will run into the waterways, and now there is a way to detect it. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. It's a lot of manure spread. Try not to do that as often as Dominic does. He'll join at 4. You can help me carry the load. 844-967-2789. Farm work is hard.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. A glorious Monday in Madison. Hope you get to enjoy an outside recess, if you know what I'm saying. Put the top down. Go walk the dog. Do what you got to do. Get outside for a bit. But take us with the Civic Media app. You can take us anywhere on your cell phone. And, you know, some people still have the radios. Take the transistor radio with you. Take it on the walk. But, you know, take the Devil's Advocates. 3 hours a day. Newly expanded. You know you're listening right now. I want to turn my attention to the Madison Metropolitan School District. Don't play real local very often, but there is a proposal being offered to the teachers this year that I think is kind of ridiculous. Madison Metropolitan School District, like many school districts, has, you know, a funding crisis, as they always seem to, because there's still not sufficient funding for education. That's kind of been the Republican mantra all the way back to the Scott Walker days. Well, Madison Teachers Incorporated, which represents 2,700 Madison School District employees, is asking for a 4.12% cost of living hike year over year. That is the maximum base wage increase allowed by the Wisconsin Employee Relations Commission. The Madison Metropolitan School District is proposing to keep wages flat, a 0% raise. How do you think that's going over? Now, the Madison School Board and Union exchanged initial base wage proposals last week in a public meeting. One said zero, the other one said the max, which is only 4.12%. I think we all know that the cost of living is literally going up. I mean, you've been to the grocery store. Asked if the union would settle for a 0% increase, MTI president Michael Jones told the Cap Times, God, no, I don't think they like this proposal. I can confidently say people are not going to accept 0% lying down. This is not an acceptable number, nor is any number under 4.12%. Next month, administrators will publicly release their initial 2024-25 budget proposal. The budget will approve a preliminary budget by the end of June, with final approval coming in October after enrollment numbers are finalized. And because Act 10 curtailed the power of most public sector unions, you know, to negotiate, MTI's collective bargaining power is limited to base wage pay changes. Each year, Madison Metropolitan School District and MTI, their union representative, bargain in closed session over the subject, with proposals capped to a percentage set by the Wisconsin Employment Relations Commission. The numbers based on inflation is measured by the Consumer Price Index. And this year, for contracts that begin on July 1st, as MTI's will, the commission will set the cap at 4.12%. The increase would cost the district nearly $13.3 million, according to MMSD. Last year, the district initially offered a 3.5% base wage increase and later bumped it to the maximum 8% after MTI members lobbied for the full amount. Now, that cost increase cost the district $20.8 million. And next year poses several financial challenges for the district. Millions of dollars in federal pandemic funding is set to expire, as well as funding from the capital and operating referendums that voters approved in 2020. In an email to the Cap Times, Folger, a spokesperson for the district, said the district's initial proposal was just the start of the bargaining process from which negotiations can spring. Yeah, zero? Zero is not a negotiation stance. The zero is a middle finger sort of a stance. In light of the uncertainty surrounding our still-in-development budget, we propose no increase in wages, as we have in recent years past, with the knowledge that the conversation will evolve over coming weeks. Yes, evolve. So anyways, negotiations, they will evolve over the coming weeks. 844-967-2789. Friend of mine, Farmer Bill, calling in from Fitchburg. Thinks the manure is getting a little deep in here. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Mike. So we've got some cows on our farm. Thought I'd take us back to the bull. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm listening, Bill.
Oh, so I totally agree with what the DNR are doing in that satellite stuff. And I think it really comes down to the outfit that is trying to size. And a lot of people want to size as many cows as they can, and which gets you into these CAFOs. And then their ability to store manure over the winter is too great, right? Not a CAFO, it's just a regular farm. You know, you get frozen ground and it's going to thaw. You got your cow yard and you're looking at 3 months of manure and you're thinking, I got to try to clean some of this out before the ground thaws and I, you know, just leave giant ruts everywhere.
Yeah.
So like there's considerations, but generally, you know, you should have.
You're saying the ground, the frozen ground allows you to haul a greater weight capacity because the farm tractor tires don't sink down into the soft ground and they will in the spring.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want the compaction, but I mean, best practices would tell you, all that good, rich, nutrient fertilizer, manure, you want to capture nitrogen and put it in your ground, you know? So, like, ideally, you want to spread your manure right, you know, right when you're going to plant. But conditions aren't always allowing for that. You've got a bunch of cows sitting in a bunch of crap, and, you know, you want to take care of the cows, too. So you want to try to get that out of there, but I totally agree. In theory, you know, you got to size your operation and you've got to be environmentally conscious, and then maybe the two can work together.
Bill, do you think
it's not always the easiest thing.
Do you think a lot of these farmers are breaking the rules because they think there's no fear of getting caught?
I don't know. I don't know CAFO style anything. I don't want to really. I mean, I just disagree with the whole idea of it. I think I saw some meme the other day that, you know, these CAFOs are doing exactly what they're supposed to, and that is try to make as much money off of, you know, their resource as they can and, you know, damn the environment. So, you know, I'm not a capo fan. You know, ideally what you want in an ideal world is you want your cows out grazing around. And that may not be possible all the time in the winter, but if they're out in a field where they're just naturally spreading their manure and...
Bill, got to cut you short. Time for me to spread a little more manure. Devil's Advocate. Stop joining soon. You can also be a part. 844-967-2789.